Hello, and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design program. I'm Nick Manise, filling in for Nolan Giles. Each episode, we turn our gaze to overlooked design stories. And today, we're rifling through the recycling to look for more sustainable approaches to making. Wasted, When Trash Becomes Treasure, is a new book by friend of the show and journalist covering all things craft and design, Katie Tregetten, and is published by Ludion. Celebrating 30 optimistic and enterprising designers, makers and manufacturers, the publication champions those who use waste as their primary resource. The title offers a glimpse into a fledgling world where waste streams could become the raw materials of the future. Here's Tregetten in conversation with Monocle's Charlie Filmer-Court, who began by asking if contemporary designers' attitudes towards waste material is beginning to change.
I think that shift is definitely happening. I think if you go back to sort of pre-industrial revolution, we naturally lived in a very circular way. You know, we took things from the earth in modest quantities. We adapted them for our use, but not beyond all recognition. And so they remained in a form in which they could go back into the earth. Post-industrial revolution, we've moved to this take, make, waste model. And the problem is that the things we do in the make stage of that often mean that those products can't go back into the earth. Designers and makers, you know, are making. We're in that make part of take, make, waste. And I think 200 years of conditioning has absolutely led to that way of thinking. James Shaw says in his part of the book that for his generation of makers, it's just natural to use waste. And actually, 200 years of take, make, waste means that most of our resources are now in the waste. There's more copper in the ash that's left over after we incinerate waste than there is in traditionally mined copper ore. So the stuff we need is increasingly in landfill rather than in the ground. And so I think if we can follow the example of this brilliant generation of designers and makers, 30 of whom are profiled in the book, and almost recategorize waste, not as something to be thrown away, but as something to be used and actually the source of valuable raw materials, then I think we'll go a long way towards solving some of these problems.
Looking at it from the other end in terms of maybe creating waste, I thought there was a really good quote in the book from Elise McMahon. Badly designed products just become trash, so good design must now be both beautiful and circular. This is obviously a really good argument against things like fast fashion, but how important is longevity and quality in design when it comes to actually reducing waste and ensuring that these products don't become something that is used just for 1 or 2 years?
Hugely important, and I think there's a stat which really speaks to that, which is that 80% of the environmental impact of a product is embedded in that product at design stage. So it's hugely important that designers and makers are thinking about that before they even get into making, and then of course distribution and consumption. I speak to a lot of designers who will tell me that their product is sustainable because it's designed for longevity. Well, Brian Thill says that waste equals every object plus time. And it doesn't really matter how long you make your product last for if at the end of its life it's going to cause problems. So I think when she talks about this idea of both beautiful and circular, however long your product's going to last for, even if it's hundreds of years, you've still got to think about what happens next. Can it be taken apart? Can it decompose? Can it go back into the earth in a beneficial way? And I think that's what we need to start thinking about. So sports shoes are a really interesting example because they've got so many different materials and they're all glued together. They're almost impossible to recycle. So even if we make sports shoes that last a year or 2 years instead of 2 months or 6 months, you've still got to deal with that problem at the end.
Looking at it in sort of decades and even centuries is a big change, and that's a big mindset change to have industry-wide. There are also a number of examples in the book where supposed waste materials are cheap and readily available. Do you think that the recycling of waste and utilising these materials could actually be an opportunity for people? Could it make materials more accessible, financially viable, especially for design students and those people starting out independently? The two that really stood out in the book were London-based chairmaker Yinka Ilori and also Sophie Rowley.
Actually, when you talk to a lot of people working with waste, the environmental imperative wasn't necessarily their first motivation. And I think a lot of these materials are available incredibly cheaply, or entirely free. Charlotte Kidger worked with the dust that her colleagues were making when they were CNC cutting 3D prototypes. So she was literally kind of sweeping up her fellow students' mess and turned that into a beautiful collection. And as you said, Yinka Ellori was grabbing chairs off the street side in London, hopping back onto London buses with them, much to the bemusement of his fellow commuters, and turning those into new chairs. And so I think there's a huge opportunity, and that's something that I think is quite interesting in this shift from a scarcity mindset and the idea that we're running out of stuff, there's not enough to go round, to an abundance mindset, which is that actually if we move towards a circular economy and we look to these waste streams for raw materials, we've got an abundance of raw materials. There's plenty to go around.
Now, looking at it from a bit more of a bigger picture, there was another interesting quote that stood out from Nina Tolstrup. Using waste should be part of the design brief for anything new. I think that's a really interesting way to approach something, but do you think that this could ever be feasible on a large scale within the design industry? People have budgets, they've got to make financial profits. Do you think this could ever be viable?
I think more than ever being feasible or viable, I think it's going to become eventually the only way, because we're running out of stuff. The lead, gold and antimony, all of which are used in smartphones, are set to run out in the next 10 years. The helium that we put in MRI machines, we're running out of, and we're still putting it in party balloons. You know, we're fast running out of the stuff we need. So not only viable, I think it's going to become absolutely crucial that businesses work with waste. The problem with waste is it tends to be more unpredictable and more inconsistent than raw materials. You know, it's different shapes and sizes and colours and consistencies and all of that sort of stuff. But actually, technology is making leaps and bounds in terms of being able to read and understand and collect data and input that data into the making process. I don't think it will be long before using waste as a raw material is perfectly normal and at scale.
Just to finish, Studio Swine said to you in the book that in a world with limited resources that's already saturated with stuff, you can't help but feel that design is part of the problem. Overall, do you think that design may also be the solution as well?
I really hope so. One thing that designers and makers and craftspeople have is, I think there's something that comes with combining hand knowledge and head knowledge that really allows you to solve problems in a different way. It's kind of moving away from that linear academic head thinking. Design has always been about solving problems. It's often been coupled with commerce and capitalism and, you know, making products that will sell. But I think increasingly designers are interested in solving some of the world's bigger problems. We can't do it alone, you know. This industry has got to collaborate with big businesses where the waste streams are, and we've got to collaborate with scientists and engineers. And actually, looking through the makers in the book, you can see all of those collaborations happening. No one is solving these problems on their own, but I do think that the creative industries have got a huge part to play.
My thanks to Katie Tregeddon there. She was in conversation with this show's researcher, Charlie Filmer-Court. Wasted, When Trash Becomes Treasure, is published by Ludion and available to purchase at all good bookstores now. And that's all for this week. If you're eager for more design stories, listen to our full-length program airing on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. London time. Today's show was produced by Maylie Evans. I'm Nick Manise. Thank you for listening and goodbye.